It's 7 hours Beijing time.
公元前210年，徐福的船奉秦始皇之命东渡。汉武帝时期，西汉的船远航至印度洋，开启海上丝绸之路。郑和的船七下西洋，连亚非探美洲。如今，一带一路新机遇，海上丝绸之路再启程。语言是沟通的船，让中国连接世界。北京外语广播。北京人民广播电台外语广播，中波774千赫，有线调频97.8兆赫。
This is Radio 774 www.am774.com。
北京外语广播网络电台，听双语，网天下。北京外语广播
Your bilingual station AM774。
Use English. Come join us and learn native spoken English in a creative way. Fun learning experience, no matter what your English level is. Check it out in Use English.
听众朋友您好，欢迎再次收听趣味青春英语 Use English 又回来了，依然是 Rose 特布朗为大家主持。You know, today we're going to talk about a scenario where you arrive at a totally alien place, by saying alien, a different country,
mm-hmm.
who speaks a different language, and i.e., you know, if you don't speak any English and if you go to the U.S., or if you're a non-Chinese-speaking foreigner who comes to China.
Well, the funny thing about this article that I'm reading is that it says how to survive in China without knowing how to speak Chinese, but the very first one says...You should start learning Chinese before you go. Right. And I think it's hilarious because, I mean, you can travel through China, but to be honest, there's no way. China's just one of those places. There's no way you can survive here without speaking Chinese. And the funny part is I know plenty of people who actually live here mm-hmm. that don't really speak Chinese either. And
that proves it's survivable.
It's survivable, but I...Not really. You know what? Okay, let me tell you something.
Mm.
There is survivable, and then there is also succeeding. So I don't consider... No, I'm not joking. I consider survival not being able to speak... To me, survival is speaking Chinese, but to some, survival is basically just existing.
Mm. You know, I think it would be fine for you to travel in China without speaking Chinese.
Yeah.
But if you want to live here, if not possible, then super inconvenient if you don't speak any Chinese at all.
Yeah, this is just crazy. It's just weird.
Same idea for any languages. I know there's like a 70-year-old Chinese granny who doesn't speak any English at all. And she alone traveled through the U.S.
What?
Yeah.
How does that work?
Using only yes, no, and sign languages.
Oh, my God, that is hilarious. But, some sign languages, though, some sign language can
be very different,
and it actually can be insulting, and so you actually have to learn that, too.
You know, there was a movie, the movie was not funny, but there was a funny scene in there when a Chinese girl at the U.S. Customs saying she doesn't really speak English that well. So she was thinking, what should I say? So she started to say, 这个那个, you know what that means?
Yeah, this and that.
This and that. But he was like, 那个那个那个。
Oh, in America?
Idea, right?
Oh, wait, in America?
Yep.
Oh, that's hysterical. I love it.
Yeah, and then there was a black guy behind her asking the custom police, aren't you doing anything about this?
Are you serious? No way. That is hilarious.
Yeah, although there can be difficulties, but I think traveling is survivable. But living in the country is
I want to say something totally racist, but I'll say that off of air.
Yeah, you get the idea.
Okay, so if perhaps you don't learn Chinese before you come,
mm,
a very good way to be is to make friends with other foreigners who do speak Chinese.
That's a good way to do it.
There are many foreigners living here who are studying Chinese or working as an English teacher. If they've been in China for a while, the odds are they can speak a little bit of Chinese.
Only a little bit.
Only a little bit. Easy and the end.
But that little bit can really help a lot.
It can, actually. And you know what? I started learning more and more Chinese because I seriously figured out the power of communication and getting what I want once I learned Chinese.
Yeah. Totally. I can't agree more because it's the same idea if you want to go to the U.S. or go to the U.K. If you can't speak any English at all, it would be such a big problem. But once you get the taste of, you know, mastering maybe just a little bit of the language, you would really get the reward.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the motivation.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Okay, so make friends with Chinese people who speak some English.
That's a really good way. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so this is actually really super funny. Okay, so this is how I communicate with people, actually, that speak Chinese and don't speak English that well, and that is to download WeChat. Oh, yeah. You know why?
Oh,
because they have that...
The auto translate.
They have the translate,
method, right?
Yeah. And sometimes, of course, English and Chinese don't translate directly, but it actually does a really good job translating.
Yeah, maybe that's not very precise, but you would get the idea, you know, after all.
Yes, exactly.
I never used that. Does it really work?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
Yeah, it works pretty well. Sometimes I'm like, huh? What? But that's not very often. Most of the time I understand. Like, I can understand the translation.
You know what? To help you learn Chinese more quickly, next time when I send you something, translate them into Chinese and read.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Why?
To test your own Chinese level.
Well, I already know. You can ask me stuff about eating. You can ask me stuff. Oh, yeah. You can ask me stuff about, like, directions. But you know what the problem with me is, which I think might be the problem with a lot of foreigners who come here, is that I, because I'm not keeping up with my Chinese classes, I can speak more than I can read now. So, yeah, that's okay. So, actually, the easiest way for me to do it is just to either find it in Playco, which is an app, translating app, and then just use it and write it on my own.
You know what?
Opinion.
I actually think that's the correct way in learning any language.
Mm-hmm.
It's not writing and reading from the beginning. Think about how we learn our native tongues. You know,
yeah.
We started from listening to our parents saying something, then start to say something yourself from papa, mama, and then simplest things, right? That's how you started to use the language.
Right.
So I think it's the same idea in learning a foreign language.
Mm-hmm.
You should also focus on listening and communication skills instead of just, you know, reading and writing things.
Right, exactly.
You're on the right path, don't worry.
I hope so, because what I do try to do is I do try to study and sit down with my book once in a while, but the terrible part is it's not like English where, you know, once you learn the letters, you just know the letters. In Chinese, not only do you have to learn the pinyin, but you will have to learn how to recognize the characters. So even if I've written the characters before, I literally, if I'm not writing them all the time, I forget them like a week or two later.
Come on, the characters, they're so simple. They just come
Brian,
to me.
Brian.
Totally alien to a foreigner. Well, probably same idea for English or French or Italian or any other languages. So we're talking about how a foreigner can survive when he doesn't really speak any Chinese when
it
comes to China. Besides making, like, foreign friends who speak Chinese, Chinese friends who speak English, what else can they do?
Well, they can carry a small phrase book, which I don't suggest. Actually, okay, so a little booklet with Chinese phrases. Okay, the only way that I would say this is okay is if it's actually written in pinyin and Chinese characters. Because when I first came here and I was trying to pronunciate pinyin, I mean, it was horrible, especially if you've never taken at least the first few Chinese classes to learn how to pronunciate the tones and how to pronunciate, like, ZH, like, J, you know, sounds like J. I was like, Zhang, Zong, Zing. That was horrible. It was terrible. You know, my God.
From your own perspective, tell me if this would work. What if you have a booklet that have both languages on it? Which
I have a book, actually. I have a nice book that has it has lots of different topics, and it has Chinese and Pinyin.
Yeah, what about, you don't have to speak the Chinese in either Pinyin
or
whatever.
Can just show someone.
Yeah, what if you show them?
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying if you have a little phrase book that doesn't only have Pinyin and you have Chinese characters, then you can show someone. But if you don't, then it's not going to work, because trying to pronunciate Pinyin when you don't speak Chinese is just, it's a disaster.
It's funny to think about this. You know, for a foreigner, it must be a whole lot easier to pronounce Pinyin than actually, phrasing the Chinese characters. But for Chinese people, reading Pinyin is actually more difficult. I mean, it's not really a problem, but it would be, like, more troublesome than actually just see the characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. It's a little bit more complicated than that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the next one is not really going to work all the time.
Which is?
Body language. That does not work, I'm sorry.
I would give it a...
Unless someone is pointing in a direction, that's pretty much the only body language you can... And I mean, even body language, like, you know how they have, here they have the numbers... You know, sign language with the numbers? I mean, No. In English, we just hold up one finger, two fingers, three fingers, but in Chinese, it's like, you make a little ball and it means seven. You know what I mean? Like, so it...
That's only after six.
Whatever.
It's six, seven.
Yeah, but nobody, no tourist knows that.
Yeah,
no tourist knows that. No, so if they're trying to hold up seven and you have no idea what that means, then
so
you're
for Americans, you just do... This is seven. Is that it?
Yes, this? Exactly. Huh. Exactly. So you just hold up seven fingers, eight fingers, nine fingers, ten fingers.
That's not the civilized way.
Hey!
I'm kidding. I know for people who doesn't speak the other language, sign languages would help a ton. But I only give, sign languages maybe 60% at most occasions that would work for both ways. Other times, they could really cause confusions.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, they can cause confusion.
I was thinking about sort of presenting how sign languages can work on the show, but then I realized it's a radio show. We can't just do signs here.
No, we can't just do signs. Go ahead, Brian. Let's see if anybody can hear your signs.
Already done. Do you hear something? No.
Nope.
Don't worry, you're natural.
Well, my sign would be to walk out the door. Can you understand that? Goodbye. That means goodbye.
Oh, you wanted to go to the bathroom. See?
No, that means goodbye.
Misunderstandings.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, so another way to survive China is to use empty packages. Okay, this has nothing to do with communication.
Hmm.
An empty box can speak for you. Like, if you've run out of something, you can carry the empty package to the store. So basically, instead of, this is what I actually had to learn to do. So if you want to buy something, you don't know the name of it, can't read the Chinese, just take the empty bottle, take it to the store and say, I want more, this. Nigga. Right?
If you don't speak any Chinese, what if they misunderstand you? Let's say you take an empty bottle to a supermarket and pointing to it with all your possible signs saying things they don't understand, they might think, oh, did this foreigner just drink something out of the shelf?
Yeah, probably.
So maybe it's better to learn a little bit of the foreign language. But before you do, these are some things you can do to at least try to make the situation better.
Yeah, exactly. Try to make the situation better.
Mm. All right. I can't help thinking, because I never really ran into this before. I went to the U.S. the first time around when I was very young, but I already spoke English back then.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be difficult for me to imagine how hard it could be to arrive at a totally different place without speaking the native language.
Mm-hmm.
Did you feel this way? Or maybe when you arrived in China, already a lot of people could speak English, so it wasn't really as big a problem for you?
When I arrived in China?
Yeah.
No. Well, okay, so the people who helped guide me were the people that I worked with, and those were the people that helped guide me a lot, helped get me everywhere, because I didn't speak one word of Chinese. But then I pretty much figured out I cannot live completely being reliant on the people that I work with, because at some point, like everybody does, they're going to not want to help me anymore. They're going to say, do it yourself, or I don't have time, or I'm sick of helping her, or she should know it by now. You know, so you can't become too reliant on someone else. So I learned very quickly that I'm going to have to learn the ropes alone by myself, and I did.
Mm.
And I am sure I still have a lot to learn.
Yeah. So maybe this is what probably most foreigners would feel if you come to China to live. You know, if you come only to visit, I think it's okay for you to survive here for a week, even a few weeks, without speaking any Chinese.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you can survive, I guess, but it's really, really difficult. And it's not even just about Chinese. It's about everything else that's unfamiliar. When I moved here, I had to learn to walk and talk and literally breathe all over again. Like, I'm not kidding, like a newborn.
Reborn.
Not kidding. Do you know the first month, my nose was so sensitive. Every single thing I smelled in China, like, it was my senses were on, like, crack or something. Like, they were, like, way overboard because I could hear every little detail that was so different. I could smell the streets, smell the food, smell people, smell everything. Even, like, the air smelled so different, and it was hard for me to breathe. So, like, I just had to become accustomed to everything. On top of that, then you have the culture, the language, your surroundings, your familiarity, where do you live. You don't even know your address, like, the keys. Learning how to get to work and from work, every single aspect of living was new all over again. It was unfamiliar.
Sounds really challenging, but it could be also fun.
It was interesting. It was fun. It was a little nerve-wracking because, you know, it was a new experience, and I didn't know where I was, and I didn't know if I could get better than where I was. Now I know I can. It's just a matter of getting there when I'm ready. So
I think for foreigners, though, there is kind of a certain advantage for them to survive probably better than Chinese people survive in other places without speaking the language, is that they're not really that afraid to try. You know, when you first come, you want to speak Chinese, you know, you'd be wrong, but it doesn't matter. I think you would try anyway. But
yeah.
For Chinese people, it might be a little bit harder for them to try to speak another language if they don't think they can speak it, or at least they cannot speak it well.
Right, exactly. Mm. Yeah, if they can't speak it well. This is, you know, a little bit, but the one most important thing, I think, is to stay patient. And you know what? I was talking to a group of girls today, and I agree 100%. I was a completely different person before I moved here. You have to be extremely patient.
With what?
Everything, because everything is different. Just for example, yeah. We went to lunch today, and there were seven of us, and I understand it's a big group, but they could not get our order right for the love of God. I mean, we asked a million times for the same thing, for just glasses of water or a knife or a spoon or just things that should already be given to us, and just to get the order right, and they could not do it. And in the United States, obviously, those things would be handled right away, and you'd get your food, like, instantaneously. And it was just too much for them to handle.
Mm.
And that's a small example, but patient when you need something and you have to rely on someone.
Mm.
So if I need my, you know, closest friend here to send a message to my landlord, and she's Chinese, and she doesn't answer me right away, you can't push people to do things. You have to really wait and be a little bit patient, because those are the times when you will get what you want and you'll get more. But if you become impatient, rude, mean, those things start to take an ugly twist, and it forces you to be someone else, to be someone you're not living in China, which can be good or bad. But for me, it's good. It's making me a lot more patient. So, yeah.
All right. Yeah, I think it would be the same in any foreign environment. Like when we go to Thailand. When we were in Thailand, well, I really found myself in a few occasions where neither English or Chinese would work. And that would be really, really difficult. English, Chinese, sign languages, anything was just not working, you know. So, yeah, you have to be patient. I think that's a good suggestion. Also, I think you would have to be patient with the local customs. Like my cousin-in-law, she lives in Paris, and she's really gone crazy about how slow people can be at work in Paris.
Yeah.
You know, either in restaurants or at department stores. Salespersons can be really, really, really slow with everything.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have to get used to it.
Yeah, exactly. You just have to get used to it. So another really important thing, like I just mentioned, is do not be too reliant on your friends. So, you know, traveling through Asia, you really have to, you can't be so intrinsic. I mean, you can't just take things that you already know and rely on those things. I mean, if you're going to travel through Asia or pretty much even, I mean, you can travel to some European countries and sort of say, okay, I'm going to do it this way that I'm used to. But really, traveling in Asia is an incredibly foreign experience. And you have to really know how to not only survive, but it's not survival doesn't necessarily turn into, you know, buying cheap food and getting wherever you can. It really turns into learning new different types of survival skills, which is learning the language, being patient, asking, talking to people even if you're not used to it, doing things you're not really comfortable with. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, if you're traveling, still, as I said, you can survive, no problem, without speaking the language. But it would be a whole new experience if you could. You know, you would learn a lot more things than, you know, when you were not speaking the language in a foreign environment. In China, in other Asian countries, or anywhere else, vice versa, for Chinese people who go abroad, whatever country it is, it would be super easy or convenient and helpful if you can speak the local language.
Yeah, exactly, for sure. It'll definitely be, you really have to know the local language.
Of course, you have to get through the first few months.
Yeah, exactly. So if you want to learn the language, tips to learning the language is to use what you learn. So don't just learn it and, you know, forget about it. Yeah. Learn it. In China, that's the one thing about being in China. If you don't know, trust me, by today you'll know, by tonight. You know what I mean? whatever you do learn, you can learn it the correct way because you're in with the people who, you know, naturally speak Chinese. So there is no better classroom than the country itself.
Yeah, that's what people all say about the language environment. And a lot, whole lot of listeners and also English learning enthusiasts would ask me, you know, how do you keep up your English level? Because, you know, you're not in the U.S., you're not in the U.K., you don't really speak English to everyone around you every single time. So how do you keep up? Well, I keep up just like this, because I work with English.
Yeah.
I have to use it every single day when I go to work, although, you know, not all the time, apparently. But this would be actually enough for you to keep up with your own level. Maybe you don't really improve that much. Mm-hmm. You have to do extra work to achieve that.
Right.
But just to keep up with your own level, this maybe 1 hour, maybe 40 minutes out of a day would be sufficient.
Yeah, absolutely. One other thing, oh God, that always happens to me, even happened today on the way here. Okay.
I'm curious.
Don't get frustrated if every Chinese person doesn't understand your Chinese. So that is not funny. Okay, you know what? So I got into the taxi to come here.
Uh-huh.
And I said to Beijing Gongbu Diantai. And I said, Gongbu? Gongbu? What's from Gongbu?
Yeah.
And then I said, no, Gongbu. Guang. Then I tried it a different tone. I said, Gongbu. I tried 10 different tones, even though Chinese only has 4. I tried seriously every tone, and he's like, oh, guang bu. And I'm like, didn't I just say that?
You actually got the tones right the first time around.
But he didn't understand.
It was because the second character where you didn't pronounce very well.
Yeah, I said guang bu, and he's like,
it's
no, guang bu.
Guang bu.
Guang bu. But he said guang bu. This is what he was telling me. So you know what I said to him? This is what I always ask when I get so frustrated that they don't speak understand my Chinese. I say to them, do you speak Chinese?
Yeah.
Can you speak Chinese? Like, I'm speaking Chinese to you. What do you want?
You know, this is, as I said, the certain advantage of foreigners. You know, they're not afraid, you know, you don't understand my Chinese. So what? I'm telling you this. It's your problem if you don't get it. But for Chinese people, it would be sort of harder, maybe not as much for the new generation.
Right.
But traditionally, Chinese people would feel like really bad about themselves if they do something and cannot do it well.
I know, yeah.
Yeah, so if...
Well, what about understanding? Does that happen? Because I do want some of them to feel badly when they don't understand what I'm saying. The other thing, okay, last Sunday morning, I was going to Swan Women. You know Swan Women, right? So I said to him, to Swan Women, Jiao Tong. Right? I think I told you this. And he's like, huh? Jiao Tong? And I said, Jiao Tong. And he's like, huh? From Jiao Tong. And he's like, he couldn't understand. And so finally he said to him, Jiao Tong? Like, I really tried to overpronunciate. He's like, oh, Jiao Tong. And I'm like, huh? No, that's where are you from? Are you Beijing Ren? Like, I don't think so.
All right.
That's not how you say church in Chinese. I'm not Chinese, but I can say church in Chinese, okay?
Yeah.
So I was really upset.
Well, to be honest, whatever you said in Chinese, I understood.
See? Are you Beijing Ren?
Yeah, I am.
Well, maybe because he was from far somewhere else that doesn't even exist. He's probably the only one that lives in his village.
Well, whatever that case might be.
And somehow the city of Beijing gave him a taxi to drive. Like,
and he must live a whole lot closer to Beijing than you did.
Whatever.
But, you know, it's understandable that this would happen. And I would really suggest this to every English learner here from China. Either in China or when you go to a different country, don't be afraid someone misunderstands you or doesn't understand you at all. Don't let that stop you from trying.
Yeah.
Because only through trying can you get better in the language, like right. What Rose has been doing. Although I know she's probably given a lot of headache to the taxi drivers, but she personally doesn't care.
I don't. Sometimes I do. Like, if they're super sweet, like, I'll try to be patient, but then I'll get really upset, and then I'll say something else like, you know, it's close to blah, 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 and they'll say,
All right, I guess it's time for us to wrap up this show.
This is getting really funny. I think we should talk more about how the taxi drivers don't get me.
All right, maybe later on. 但今天的节目呢，到这里就要告一段落了。感谢大家的收听，我们下次再见。
拜拜。
本节目教材由盛智学习集团美国国家地理学习公司提供。接下来您将收听到的是怪怪故事屋，小朋友们一起来听外教老师讲英文绘本故事吧。1934年8月至1935年10月，中国工农红军进行了史无前例的长征，红军超乎寻常的毅力，战胜了几十万国民党反动军队的围追堵截，最终取得胜利。长征组歌中的过雪山草地讲述了红军在过雪山草地时遇到的极大困难和红军战天斗地以野菜充饥的顽强斗志，长征精神代代相传，用音乐缅怀历史，铭记歌曲背后的故事，纪念长征胜利80周年，弘扬长征精神，构建和谐社会。
Radio 774，
声音在耳边，世界在心里。北京外语广播，聆听资讯，分享优质生活。
Never holding you in these arms, I know I never loved that way again.
Staring at your picture hanging on the wall, nothing left but sad memories in these four walls. Thinking back to the moment, all the times you made me smile,
I wonder if I'd feel that way again.
Cause all the love I know, I carry in my heart forever. When you smile, takes my breath away.
Thought I could go on, but when you left, you left me here so all alone. Nothing left to hold.